Welcome to another interview in the series that I'm doing for the How to Find Clients class. This is Dionne Atkinson speaking. Today we're going to interview Stephen Albert of Lifetime Memoirs. I have three things that I want to talk to Stephen about that I think will be helpful to you. The first one is his use of targeted advertising. The second is a wild card marketing strategy that he's trying, which I'll reveal to you what that is, or he will in a few minutes. And then also, he is very good at researching and trying out new technology, better at it than I am, actually. And he found a time management software that works really well, and he was putting out really interesting reports for his weekly activity reports when we were working together, and I thought you might like to hear about that. So, welcome, Stephen.
Hello.
Hello. Stephen and I have been working together off and on. Has it been almost a year now? I think it is almost
a year. Yes, it is. Yeah, just about.
He has been one of my favorite people to work with, he and his son, because they are so innovative and creative. And the first time that Stephen sent me one of his videos, I just was blown away. Even though I do not know the person that this video biography was about, I totally enjoyed the video, and I think that's a mark of a really good video biographer. So I want to give Stephen a chance to introduce himself and his business, and then we'll get into the interview. So Stephen, take it away.
Yikes, that's a lot to follow up, so I won't try.
You won't try?
Yeah, I
will
try.
Tell them about where you're located and what your business does and how you and your son work together. Tell them that.
Sure, sure. Our business is located in Toronto, and my son Aaron and I work together on it. He is a film and video guy. He graduated from university in fine arts and specializes in editing. And he's worked for television and I watch it and I think he's a wizard, but then I'm his father, so maybe I'm prejudiced. But I really do think he has a knack, and certainly the technical expertise is, it looks like magic to me. I have a background in first law and then education. And I've done a lot of interviewing over the years, and I love people's stories. I just, you know, it's the sort of thing that I think a lot of personal historians say the same thing. You know, you feel like you're getting, if you can make a business of it, you're getting paid to do something that you would do for free, but so much the better. Organizing those stories into a coherent narrative is a delight, and seeing the emotion and pleasure on people's faces when they get to see themselves and hear their story and their families is just the greatest. It's just the greatest. So after Aaron and I invented the field of personal history, because we thought this was a great idea, and then we discovered APH.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard that story so many times.
I've heard it too.
Yeah. So so that's how we divide up our expertise. I do the marketing and the interviewing and research kind of stuff, and Aaron is the tech guy and does all of our graphics.
Okay. So let's talk about the first of the topics we have, targeted advertising.
Sure.
As you know, I usually tell my clients that advertising tends to be very expensive and not very effective. However, you found a media that went directly to your target clients. So would you tell us what made this advertising opportunity worth a trial for you? What was the publication,
sure,
for example?
There is a business in the Toronto area, in Toronto, I guess it's in Toronto proper, and it's called Post City Magazines, and they publish 7 monthly magazines that are targeted to 7 different areas of the city, and generally it's sort of the central part of the city, and the demographic tends to be people who are might be more likely to have disposable income and be willing to invest in something like this. They also do a lot of city-type stories about new businesses and about restaurants and that kind of thing, home renovations. And they when I inquired, they sent us their information that they had gathered about what their demographics looked like. It was broken down by the different magazines, and we just thought that this would get the idea in front of people. We really liked our ad, and we thought that it would be eye-catching and would pique interest and curiosity, and so we decided that it was worth a shot.
Okay.
So it was a combination, of...
Go ahead.
Of the demographic and wanting to try an ad, I suppose, that we believed in.
So what were the different advertising options that you considered, like size of ads, placement, that sort of thing?
Yeah, they sent us a price sheet, and it broke down the different possibilities by the amount of a page we were taking and whether we were using color, which we did. We decided to go with something that we thought would be effective enough and would be big enough to be effective and at the same time wouldn't break the budget and allow us to run it. One of the considerations, and we heard this over and over again, was that it takes, and from you too, Dion, that it takes several sightings, several hits for people to start to recognize you and then say, well, maybe on this fourth hit I'll follow it up.
Uh-huh.
So we wanted to make sure that we had enough in the budget to run it for at least four, and we're actually going into our fifth because we wanted to capitalize on the four that we've done and follow up with a Father's Day thing, Father's Day special. So,
and you sent us a copy of that to include with the interview. So
right. For
those of you listening, you should be able to see a copy of the ad, which I think is brilliant. I love those ads. So people are going to enjoy seeing this. So did you get an immediate response?
We certainly got an immediate response in terms of a bump in the number of hits that we would get in the first half of the month. The publication comes out at the first of the month, and it's delivered within the first 5 days of the month to all of the residences that it goes to. And so we would see in the first couple of weeks, we would see a spike in the number of hits.
To your website.
To our website, yes. And it's been, our impression is that it's been uneven, and I don't have an explanation for that. But we've certainly seen that, and we've certainly received inquiries, phone inquiries and email inquiries via our website from people who are curious.
And can you share with the people who are listening, how do you actually know that you're getting visits to your website? What do you use to track that?
Yeah, we use Google Analytics, and we get a weekly report. And I confess that I'm not good at working with Google Analytics yet. It's on my to-do list for studying up on using Google Analytics more effectively, and in fact using Google searching more effectively.
If you didn't use Google Analytics, you really wouldn't have known that there was any response to your ads at all, would you? Except for the few phone calls and things that you got?
Yeah. That's right. And one of the things that was suggested to us, and we rejected the idea, was to have a special URL on the ad. And and to say lifetimememoirs.ca and then have a slash post magazine or something like that. And link it through that, and then you would know that that's the way it came. But it seemed like more effort than it was worth, so we decided to just wing it this way. So
also, since the ad was fairly small, adding more of that might... And since people couldn't click, they would have to type it in. So those were all considerations.
Right. One of the interesting changes that we made, I just mentioned from the earlier ads, which were all Save Mom's Life. And this, the first one that we're running with Save Dad's Life, is we're also including a call to action, which is check out our clips on our website.
Good.
Or something to that effect. So it'll be interesting to see whether that in fact happens. It was interesting to hear from people who hadn't actually looked at the website. They just picked up the phone.
Who called you straight from the ad.
Yep.
Wonderful. So as I will be saying in this upcoming class, or people will probably be in the class by the time they hear this interview, marketing is really a cultivating sort of activity. It's like, truthfully, there are certain things that will help you pick the low apples on the tree in terms of getting clients, but oftentimes you need to cultivate something for a while, and this is exactly what Stephen is doing with these ads. They're placing them, they're changing them just a little, but they look enough alike that there is going to be some company recognition in the advertising, and then he's really watching over time what the effect is. So if you are going to do advertising, this is definitely the way to do it, particularly because he chose so carefully where to put the ad that would get to his target clients. So what would you say overall is the response so far? I know this is an experiment that's not completed yet, but right. What would you say the response is? And what would you say overall if another person, a personal historian, wanted to try this kind of advertising?
Sure, yeah. The response has been, I guess, uneven, but still... my sense is that, just to go back to what you said a minute ago, it seems to me that part of what we have to do, and you hear this in personal historians' discussions all the time, is raise awareness of that personal history exists and what it's like. And these kinds of ads, I think, pique enough curiosity that people become aware, even if they don't follow up. It sort of lands somewhere, and I think it helps to create the market. You know, the example I always use is, you know, if people ask you what you do and you sell cars, they all know what a car is. But if you tell them that you do personal histories, they haven't got a clue. So unless they start seeing that personal history exists and start asking, well, what exactly is this? It sounds like a good idea in theory, but... so I think there's that element of it too. Our experience, as I say, has been uneven. I should mention, we also added another publication in May, prior to Mother's Day, and we ran a Mother's Day special on that too. And that was, there's a local paper called the Canadian Jewish News, which has a circulation of something like 30,000. And we got a lot of interest from that too. Somehow that seemed to call that demographic as well. So a lot of phone calls from that one, and we're running it again for the Father's Day. I would say you know, if one is careful, if one is able to find a publication that looks like it will be going to a potentially,
your target clients.
Then I would say, you know, it's worth the experiment.
I think I also remember, just before we move on to the next topic, that this particular magazine in Cultivating You promised that they would throw your ad into other publications free if they had the space. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, we would pick one magazine. The magazines had the seven each have a circulation of 25,000, and so we would pick one or two, and they would put us into one or two more if they had space in it. So you end up with bonuses sometimes.
So that was another bonus. Okay, yeah. So let's move on to my favorite. So as I remember, we were having a conversation, a three-way conversation one day, and I think I was the one that tossed out Save Grandma's Life. And I was telling you about a other client of mine. She's an organizing professional who did a wrap for her car. And I introduced you to her, and you talked to her, and you decided to do a magnet for your car. So can you tell us what it's been like? Well, first of all, why don't you explain to them what the difference is between a car magnet and a car wrap?
Sure. A car wrap you live with, no matter where you go in your car. It's top to bottom, front to back coverage. And, you know, it's great if you're going to be using it only for business. But if you're going to be going to using it for personal type travel, you don't want to be going to a funeral with, you know, a car with a wrap around it.
Liz says differently. She doesn't mind having her car wrap, you know, wherever she goes. But
not if it's to save Grandma's life.
Right. Save Grandma's life. I guess you wouldn't want to put that and go to a funeral. Okay.
No. So, you know, the beauty of a magnet is that it's removable.
It's removable.
And you have to remove it, in fact, in certain situations, like going to car washes and so on.
Okay.
But they're very easy to take off and put back on. You don't get as much territory coverage on the car, so you have to be, you know, pretty judicious in how you decide to use it. And so the experiment that we ran was with trying out a couple of magnets.
Okay. So in what part of the car are you putting your car magnet? And by the way, those of you who are listening, Stephen has been very generous, and we have some pictures of his car magnet, so you'll get a chance to look at this and also see what I mean about, you know, we've got Save Grandma's Life, Save Mom's Life, Save Dad's Life. They look similar, and personally, I've always loved Grandma with her purple hair. She's great. So, have you actually put it on your car yet?
Yes. And I can't say I put it on my car 2 weeks ago. I can't say for sure. I don't think it's brought us any inquiries.
Yet.
Yeah. No. In the 2 weeks, but I can't tell you that it's changed my parking habits. I now try to park my car where there are no cars beside me, so that anybody coming from either side can see the signs.
This is perfect. So, and I also see that you tried two different car magnets. Which one did you ultimately decide to go with?
I like the cartoon one, the grandma
one.
I think it really is more impactful. And, you know, in that brief second that you have to catch somebody's eye, that one catches somebody's eye. I think the other one, you know, I think it's more elegant, but I think it looks more like a, you know, sort of thing you'd see on the side of a plumbing truck. The basic information. It's more elegant than what you'd see in a plumbing truck, but it's just the basic information. There's nothing on it necessarily, I think, that grabs your attention in that.
So, in one of the other interviews, the one with Linda Hamilton, she talks about the fact that she got two large projects by wearing her "I'm a personal historian" button, which I gave out at the conference years ago, and which APH now offers in their store. But she did that and also carried her APH bag with her and got two clients in coffee shops. So I'm very hopeful that with Stephen and Aaron trying this car magnet that we'll get some new information about how that works. But I think anything that creates interest where people are likely to say, "Wow, tell me about that. I love this."
Exactly.
This water gives you an opportunity that you wouldn't have otherwise. So,
and just to build off the button thing, and I mean, the beauty of that is that as opposed to driving by somebody, you're standing beside them and they actually have a chance to ask you a question and you can strike up
that's
a conversation.
Right.
And I think that's a far more fruitful avenue. And our one of our next advertising projects is going to, marketing projects is going to be making caps, ball caps that Anna can wear to save grandma's life. Record her story.
Say
grandpa's life, record his story. And, you know, I think, you know, when I'm standing in line at a grocery store and somebody looks at the cap that I have on my head, if it elicits any questions, it'll be far more likely to be productive. So.
And if you send me a cap, I'll wear it for you. How's that?
You can count
on it. Okay. All right, so let's talk about your time management software. And I remember we were working together. You found it and purchased it. What can you tell us about it? About the charts and tables, and how are you using that information?
It's called Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, and it's harvest.com online. And they have one. You can use them in one of four ways. You can use them directly on their website by logging in online. You can use them from a desktop app. You can use them from a smartphone if you have access to that, or an iPad. So no matter where you're working, you know, if you're having a conversation that you want to make note of, record the time, you have that access always. So that flexibility was great. What I've done, actually, I'm gonna pull up my Harvest page here online. And what I found is that as I try to create tasks, it helped me to think through what I was doing. It helped me to do an analysis of what I was doing. And so, for instance, I have clients, different people who've hired us, and underneath them I have the different tasks that we have in any given project. So we have client preparation meetings. We have project management, editing, recording, having a recording session, emails, meetings, phone calls, research, and all of these things become a separate task. So in trying to learn how to do this business, it allows me to keep track of each task for each project, but it
for
also allows me to, but it also allows me to see how much in total I'm spending in time for each project. And ultimately, I think that will be tremendously helpful in adjusting our pricing so that we can look at how much we want in a return per hour and adjust our pricing accordingly. I don't know how else to keep track other than, you know, walking around with a piece of paper
and a pencil,
and then having to do the calculations on your own afterwards.
Right.
So the other beauty of Harvest is that they have a wealth of reports that you can call up from their website. It'll track the number of hours that you've done in a week. It'll say how many of your hours are billable because you categorize them as billable or not billable.
Mm-hmm.
Who's done it? If you have more than one person, like Aaron and I working. What projects they were on, what tasks they were on. And so there's a lot of, depending on what kind of data you want to focus on, there's a lot of flexibility in using it. It costs, the cost range, I think I paid about $100. It allows you a certain number of clients, and that's for a year. And I think the return on that is exponentially greater than the investment.
So I would think, particularly, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, but It sounds like for those people who are beginning personal historians who might not consider purchasing something like this until they were further along, it could really help them, for example, in figuring out their pricing, because they'll find out exactly how much time it takes on all of their projects to do different things, and it doesn't take a lot of time to do calculations for you. Is that true?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And I think that that investment up front, as I said, pays huge dividends as you've got, you know, over the course of 6 months or a year, you've got all of your records in place, and you can say, okay, how long did it take me to do this project? Click, click. And
right.
It's all in front of you.
And you've got real numbers, not guesses.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'll just mention, Dion, just one of the other things that I did with it is that some of the things that I worked on that I learned in your course have been set up as things that I want to track, like good conversations, good contacts.
Uh-huh.
So I've set that up as a separate thing because there's no client there. The client is our own business. So if I have a good connection or conversation and I want to make a note of it, and it happens to be in, I don't know, coffee shop or something. I just put it down under that category, good conversation,
you just click 5 minutes, 10 minutes,
whatever it is, and it's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so do you have any final words of wisdom you'd like to share, especially with maybe beginning personal historians, about those marketing strategies or anything else that you would recommend for startup personal historians? Any last words of wisdom?
Take your course.
Take my course. Thank you. That was nice.
I did learn a tremendous amount. I don't come from a marketing background. And
Stephen, by the way, took my 12-week business intensive. So
yep.
That's what he's talking about when he says the course.
Yeah, but as I participated in other groups that you run, the same concepts come up in those as well. It's just not as comprehensive from beginning to end. So it certainly helped me to figure out marketing strategies. And the rest of it feels to me like it's a wide open field. And as I said before, personal history is not well known. And I think that any way of getting the word out, any experiment that somebody thinks would get the word out is absolutely worth trying. If you can afford it, you know, if you have a budget for it,
yes.
It's absolutely worth giving it a shot. And I don't know what those might be. Ours happen to be specific to what we do, our geographical location, but I think sort of with paying attention to what else is out there in anyone's particular location may allow you to see an opportunity that nobody else has seen in terms of advertising personal history, and it'll help create the market. It'll help people understand what personal history is. And the last thing is just to go back, just record your time. Otherwise you're operating in the dark. You know, you're
That's
guessing
right.
at what your pricing is and what your return is, and you know, record it. If you don't use Harvest, use something else.
Use something else. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I think those are three topics that are really worth sharing, and I appreciate your taking the time to share this with other people. So thank you very much.
If anybody has any questions, look me up. I'm happy to answer them.
Okay, that's very generous of you. And if you look at the information that I will be sending with this interview link, his contact information is there. So thanks very much, and I'll turn off the recording now.